scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, happy Wednesday. The regular season is finally here.
Ooh, baby.
Flames Talk's underway. Steinberg and first class number one choice, Wes Gilbertson, is with us.
Al MacInnis, baby. Number two in your programs, but number one in your hearts.
Welcome to the program. Steinberg and Wes along with you. And hopefully you're having yourself a great week. The week that kicks off the 2024-25 season. Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan from our Groundworks downtown studio. Wes, are you ready? Are you ready for some bold, cutting-edge predictions?
I think so. I thought you were just going to ask if I was ready for the season opener.
Well,
that too.
I just assume that you're ready for the season opener.
I'm fired up. I talk all the time. Like, it'd be nice if they'd play a couple more preseason games, maybe 10 or 12.
Yeah, you know what? But, another 4 or 5 weeks of training camp would have been great.
Drop the puck already.
If we have to talk about games that mean something, I guess we will. Are you ready for your mind to be blown with some of the most groundbreaking and off the wall, completely outlandish, bold predictions that you have ever heard? Okay, maybe not. That's maybe not where we're going. I don't know if Wes or I are quite the type of personalities, or Vix, or I don't know if we're quite the personalities to give hot takes to that degree. But we do have some bold predictions for the coming season. Here on this Wednesday, October 9th, the Calgary Flames will open their regular season on the road in Vancouver. And we have got our bold predictions for the 2024-25 season. And I think some will be bold. Some of them I haven't even come up with final answers on yet.
Okay.
That I'm going to kind of formulate as we go along here.
Yeah, I might have missed the bold part. Mine are more like italicized, I think.
Not even underlined?
I could underline them for
control,
you. Yeah.
Control I as opposed to control B or control U.
You know, some of the questions, I don't know how bold you can get. But let's dive in.
Text line, dive in with us. Yeah. 960-960. We'd love to get your thoughts.
Text line, be bold, please.
Be bolder than Wes. You know, when people think about Pat and Wes, I don't know if the adjective bold is the first one that comes to...
No, I wake up feeling bold without the B often. But beyond that, I don't know.
You know, if I could get myself to slightly memorable, slightly memorable, it's a good day for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I am as forgettable as they get this week. Okay. Text 960-960 on some of these bold predictions. Who's the leading scorer for the Calgary Flames in 24-25? Who is the leading scorer this year? How bold are we willing to get with this one?
Not very for me. I really wanted to say Jonathan Huberdeau, and I do expect him to put up more points than he did in each of his first two seasons in Calgary, but I can't bring myself to be bold enough to think that he outscores Nazem Kadri this season. And so I would say, like, if you were doing the least bold power rankings, the least bold answer you could get would be the guy who led the team in scoring last year. I think I'll fall over with shock if it's not Nazem Kadri. Like, Yegor Sharangovich, who I think had a shot at competing for the team scoring title, is going to miss a undetermined amount of time, but, you know, he's not going to be back next week. So I think he's going to wind up missing enough games that you can take him out of that conversation. I really believe that if Andre Kuzmenko is putting up the type of points that people think he might be capable of, he's going to be traded. I know that there's been some rumblings about contract talks. I, You know, I really believe that's a team sort of keeping some leverage in the situation. Like, mm-hmm. if you're not finding out what he wants and what his interest is, you know, what are you going to tell people if you're trying to trade him? Like, what are they going to offer you? And so just, you know, I'm not saying that Craig Conroy and company are being disingenuous in any sort of conversations happening with the Kuzmenko camp, but I don't expect the Flames to lock up Andre Kuzmenko long term anytime soon. And so I take Andre Kuzmenko out of the mix because I think if he's leading the team in scoring, he's not going to be on the team past the trade deadline.
Yep.
You know, I'd love to say Huberto. I just don't see him outscoring Kadri. Same with Connor Zary, who I think is going to be a big offensive piece. Just every answer, and please, Patrick, be bolder. Everything brings me back to Kadri.
My bold prediction for leading scorer is Nazem Kadri. I can't. That one I just can't go any other
direction. It's hard to
be
bold on.
He was their best player last year. He was their best guy. He was their number one skater. He led them in scoring. He was their tone setter night in and night out. And I just can't, from a leading scorer perspective, I just can't go any other direction than Nazem Kadri. I think he is, even at the age of, what, 33, 34 years old now, I don't know if there's another guy that I can, and that's not a knock on, like, I think Connor Zary is going to take some steps, right?
Yeah.
By the way, happy belated birthday to Nazem Kadri. He is now 34 years old.
2 days ago?
Three days ago. On Sunday. And I think Zary's going to have a nice year. I'm with you. I think Huberto's going to maybe be a little bit more offensively productive than we have seen the first 2 years as a member of the Flames. I think Blake Coleman, does he get to 30 again this year? Maybe not, but does he get to 20 and 25? Sure. I think that those things are very much on the table, but I just don't know if anybody, after a 75-point season, the second most productive season of his career, mm-hmm. I just don't know if anybody profiles better than Kadri to be this team's leading scorer.
You know, the thing I think I kept circling back to, and I'll just sort of back you on this one, is like 75 points was, as you said, the second highest total of Nazem Kadri's career, and yet he was the guy last season whose scoring stats didn't come as a surprise, right? Blake Coleman put up more points last year than anyone was anticipating. Yegor Sharangovich had a breakout season. Can he replicate it? Absolutely. But that was a breakout season. That was more than anyone knew Yegor Sharangovich was probably capable of or had a chance to show at the NHL level, right? Connor Zary, we've talked about a million times, starts the season in the minors, emerges as a guy who can produce at the NHL level. But, you know, you can go through everyone who sort of was close to Kadri or was a supporting offensive piece for the Flames last year and go, that was a bit of a surprise. Hey, you know, 20 goals for Mackenzie Weegar, did not see that coming. 30 goals for Blake Coleman, didn't have that on my bingo card. Nazem Kadri just sort of did what we expected to do, which was what we expected him, I'm sorry, to do, which was pace the Flames offense. And there's just no reason I see that he won't do it again.
So that one's kind of
unbold.
Are we 0 for 1 on being bold?
Yeah, that was...
Shan agrees. Okay.
Yeah, that was unbold.
Okay, okay,
sure.
Okay. Let's see if we can do a little better. That's leading score. Who's the team MVP this season? Who do you have as team MVP in 24-25?
I want you, because you look bold right now. I want you to hit lead off on this one.
No, it's bloated, I think, is the word looking for. My choice for team MVP is Mackenzie Weegar. And I just, there's two things that go into that. First of all, Weegar had himself a hell of a second year as a member of the Flames. He hit 20. What was the 20 goals and 200 block shots or whatever? What was the stat again that had never been done before? 20 goals, 200 block shots.
220. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool number to accomplish.
Yeah.
First time it's ever been accomplished
I'd forgotten
in the history
about that.
Of the league. Well, you're the one who mined the stat.
I know.
It's your stat.
I'd already forgotten. I'm on to mining something else.
Well, because it's so just like old hat that Wes comes up with interesting things that he did it and he's on to the next one. But it's not just that. Like, he's going to play a ton. He's with no disrespect to Daniil Miramanov, But playing on his off wing, Mackenzie Weegar is the driver of this team's top pairing. He's the quarterback of the number one power play unit to start the season. But you add all of that into how vocally invested he's been in being a member of the Calgary Flames. And I'm not trying to say other guys haven't been, but in terms of just that outward acknowledgement and that very passionate investment in being a long-term member of the Flames, to the point where he's said on numerous occasions, if you don't want to be here, we don't want you here. We want guys who want to be here. Like, that's part of building a culture. And I think along with the rest of this leadership group, that's a huge culture to build. And he's just been, there's something very believable and there's something very genuine about it from Mackenzie, because nothing about that guy. And again, I'm not saying other guys are like this, but nothing about that guy is fabricated. He wears his heart in his sleeve, and that comes across when he speaks to you through the media. And so I just, all of those things combined, I've got Weegar as my team MVP this year.
I'd like to back up my unboldness by pointing out that I did have this written down. I'm not cheating off your answers, but I put two names as team MVP, and one of them is who you just finished talking about, Mackenzie Weegar. I think if this team is going to have a decent season, the two players who need to be their MVPs are Mackenzie Weegar and Rasmus Anderson. And I put those guys together because of exactly what you just talked about with the minutes and the defensive responsibilities that they're going to face. Like, this team has two proven top four defensemen. If you're listening, Kevin Ball, you shouldn't be right now. You got a game to prepare for. It's no disrespect. If you're listening to Neil Miramanov, I don't mean to knock on you, but this team has two guys who we know can play top 4 minutes. And what's going to happen, whether those other guys prove they're capable of it or not, is that Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar are like, Ryan Huska and company are going to play the wheels off those two. They're going to be on the ice constantly. Rasmus Anderson's getting the first crack at running the second power play. Mackenzie Weegar is going to run the first power play. If they're not just finishing a 45-second shift, they'll be the first guys out on the penalty kill. Like, the workload that we're going to be talking about for these two guys is so substantial, and the way that they're going to need to handle that for this team to come near the results that they're hoping for, like, without those two guys, forget about it. Yep. And that's why, for me, they need to be the two MVPs of this team.
Okay. So Weegar and Anderson for you, Weegar for me.
I do think, like, you talked about Mackenzie Weegar as a guy who's shown he wants to be here, as a guy who I think his work ethic and his demeanor shows how much he hates to lose. And that's where I think Rasmus Anderson can be a big part of it too. Like Rasmus Anderson is one of those guys who is ornery and owly and miserable when things aren't going well. And no matter how things go for the Flames, I think that can be valuable.
Yep. Agreed. Bold?
No.
Bolder?
I wouldn't say. Okay. This one might be bold though.
All right. What is the first major transaction that we see this year? What's the first, and that doesn't mean a trade.
Yeah.
It could mean a trade. Maybe it's a contract extension. Maybe it's let's not use the F word. No firings. We're not going to be talking about that this year. So what's the first major trade, or what's the first major signing that we see the Flames involved in this year?
I'm not sure I'm ready for this one. I think, and let me preface this for those of you who don't join us regularly, I'm about as big a proponent of Dustin Wolf as a full-time National Hockey Leaguer as I think there is. But for the sake of boldness, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Dan Vladar extension. And I want to point this out from a couple angles. One, Dan Vladar has the net tonight in Vancouver. I do think we're going to see a platoon, but there's some prestige that comes with being the opening night starter. I had a you know, a few chats with Dan Vladar about the topic before he knew whether he would be. There's a story up on the Post Media sites about sort of how he was preparing for what he hoped would be the opportunity to be a number one goalie. Obviously, the jury's still out on that, but Dan Vladar has been waiting for this opportunity. And while, you know, the grass can always seem greener for a guy who can potentially become a free agent, I think Dan Vladar, if he truly gets an opportunity to play more than he ever has in his career this season, will have some interest in staying in Calgary. And I think the Calgary Flames, who still have a heap of belief in Dan Vladar, might be interested in talking extension sooner than later because they think they can get good value on a player who, you know, whose sort of status as a could be number one goalie is a question mark. And I know Devin Cooley has a one way next year. I'm not going to get too wound up about that. I just see Vladar and Wolf as a tandem that they could use beyond this season. Sorry to Devin Cooley, but I think that could make some sense for, even if it's just maybe one more season, maybe it's two more, but I would not be shocked. And there's a bunch of transactions I don't see happening right away. So in the sake of boldness, I'm going to say a Dan Vladar contract extension.
See, that is pretty bold. And it's funny because it flies in the face of what I had. And again, we did not plan these out. I believe that, you know, if I'm going to make a prediction, because they're sitting at three goaltenders and because one of them is a pending unrestricted free agent, and because goaltending injuries happen all the time, I think a Dan Vladar trade would be the thing that I would point to first, because I think Anthony Mantha or Andre Kuzmenko, who are both large candidates to be dealt at some point, I think those happen far closer to the trade deadline. And even if a Rasmus Anderson trade does come to pass, that's closer to the trade deadline. Any of the other veteran names that people say, well, what about this player or that player? That's New Year stuff. That's January, February stuff. Whereas if Vladar gets off to a really nice start,
mm-hmm.
and at the very least proves that he is in a better spot than he was last year, and the hip surgery is something that has really helped him, like it looks like it has through the preseason, then I think that there's going to be a taker or two that is like, hey, you know, we need some help in net. We need to shore things up a little bit. You know, player X is hurt, and we believe that we need a little bit more depth at this position. We're willing to give you a third round pick, a second round pick, something like that for Vladar. That I think is realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something the Flames need to be open to. As much of a Vladar fan as I am, because I really do like him as a goalie, and I think the potential is there, you do have Dustin Wolf, who is clearly the guy for the future, or what the clear hope to be the guy for the future. And that also alleviates a little bit of the logjam. And Devin Cooley signed here to play and to fight for NHL time as well. I don't know. You want as many lottery tickets at this position as you possibly can have, but you've kind of got a logjam right at the top of the depth chart. And if they can get decent value for a Vladar deal at some point in the first half of the season, I think they should do it. I think that's very realistic. So it's funny. He says Vladar extension, I say Vladar trade. And I think both have merit.
I was going to say, buddy, I could really see either happening. You know, I don't think Dan Vladar necessarily blocks Dustin Wolf's ascent to the number one position. Like, Dan Vladar's been a backup to this point in his career. I can't see him playing a ton more than half the starts this season. I don't think you're, whether you're pairing Dustin Wolf with Dan Vladar next season or with Devin Cooley, I do think the path remains clear for Dustin Wolf to continue to carve out a bigger workload in the NHL, starting this season, moving into next season. I could really see it going either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the first recall? Who gets called up first this year?
You want to go first?
I can go first.
Sure.
I think it's a forward. And them losing Cole Schwint means that all of a sudden...
I should have gone first. You know what? I'm going to go first. Okay. I think it's Sam Morton.
Not who I was going to go
with. Really?
No, it was 100% was.
You explain it. I got another one for you.
I was going to go... It's funny. I was like, well, I'm going to try to take one Wes doesn't go with. We haven't seen these. You go Sam Morton, and I'll go my other one.
Well,
who's your other one?
Artem Grushnikov.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who I do think is a candidate for a call up sooner than later. I just can't see a path. I think why?
Because there's eight D men right now. Yeah. I didn't go defense. So yeah. I didn't go Grushnikov. I didn't go Brustevich. My other guy was Cooley.
Okay.
And so why don't you go Morton and I'll go Cooley.
Well, I think the reason we both started with Sam Morton as our answer is a sort of blend. You're always looking for who was one of the last guys kicking around camp, right? That's always a good indicator. If you go back through the years, typically the first call-up was in camp until, you know, 3 or 4 days left. And so Sam Morton checks that box. There's also opportunity there. Like, especially with Cole Schwint being claimed off waivers, especially with the, I guess, uncertainty remaining about whether Martin Pospisil is a long-term fit at center, with the uncertainty of when Yegor Sharangovich, one of your other center options, might come back. Like, for a lot of reasons, it's not far-fetched to think they're going to need a center sooner than later. And quite frankly, Sam Morton's about the only guy on that list right now.
I know the other guy that they are really, that they would consider is Kirkland.
Yeah.
He had a good camp, and they feel like that's a guy that they could see potentially getting a recall.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, I think that Morton would be, just because he's a little bit closer to being a prospect than Kirkland is.
Yeah.
But I think those are two options that you could see in that situation.
Yeah, for sure. And I think Grushnikov is really knocking at the door. I just don't know how soon they're going to need a defenseman.
Yeah.
Right? Tyson Barry is very clearly the next man up. I really wonder how much Joel Hanley gets in. I think you have a serious conversation if Joel Hanley is your next man up, and I don't, it's going to sound like a drive-by on Joel Hanley, and I don't mean it that way, but I think you have a serious conversation about recalling someone and leaving Joel Hanley as your seven just because you want to get one of your young players some experience. I could see maybe Grushnikov in a scenario like that, but there's a much more clear pathway, at least from my vantage point, for a guy like Sam Morton. I can't believe you didn't think of that.
What an idiot. I should have. The reason I would then submit Cooley is I just said Vladar was going to be the first transaction.
Yeah.
So that's going to mean that they need to also recall a goalie, and that would be Devin Cooley.
I was initially going to say Dryden Hunt, who is always a candidate for a recall with the trust that
that's
the coaching
less,
staff
less
has.
Bold.
No boldness there. Yeah. No boldness. Sorry,
that's,
Dryden.
That's not even capital letters. That's full on lowercase. No knock on DH. Okay. Text line. Let's roll through these. 96960. Cody Scott. I don't know why I said his last name. Cody from Calgary. My bold prediction, Hanzek breaks 20 goals. I like that. This says, my hot take is that the Flames... Oh, no, that's from the last... Holy. John hasn't texted in since September 25th. I thought these were two texts. He says, leading scorer, Coleman scores 40. That comes from John in Mountain View County.
Ooh. Was that 4-0, 40?
Yeah, 4-0 after hitting 30 for the first time
okay,
last year.
Okay.
This says from Chuba, Flames players win the Calder for the first time since Makarov, the big man Adam Klapka leading all rookies in penalty minutes too. So I think with that, who would be winning the Calder then?
Well, your candidates are
Hanzek and Wolf. Okay, Hanzek. Well, no knock on Klapka. I don't know if he's going to win the Calder. That's all I'm saying. But you know what? I can't write it off.
Pat, that was not very bold of you.
Not very bold. Sean says 84 points for Huberdeau. Cole says, Calgary surprises everyone and is vying for a wild card spot until the dying weeks. Fans like me are upset, and another typical mushy middle season from the Flames that also resulted in losing their first rounder, only for the draft lottery to happen and the Flames to win a lottery pick to move into the top three and win their pick back. My own personal movie script for this season. That's Cole and Red Deer.
That Cole's text, you know, started bold, dipped into unboldness, and then really ramped up the boldness at the end. So nice finale.
Garth in Red Deer County says, bold prediction, Wolf will be pulled in 7 games and Vladar in 9. Oof, that's not optimistic. Ruben, Zeri, 30 goals and 75 points. This from Paul. Huberto, most points at 100. Zeri, 35 goals. Paul and Brentwood going bold. Sam Honzek leads the league in rookie scoring, but finishes second to Celebrini for the Calder. What else we got here?
How quick has the Sam Honzek narrative changed?
That train went from in the station to like full-on high-speed rail in the middle of destination.
That train went from people trying to push the caboose back into the whatever you'd call it to, yeah, rocketing out of the station.
Yeah.
Solo lap tonight. Nothing better.
Mackenzie Weegar for team MVP. This says, what else we got here at 960? My bold prediction for MVP is Wolf. If the Flames make the playoffs, it'll be on the back of a stellar goaltender, and I predict it'll be Dustin. This from Mac, bold prediction, trade Flames, trade Rasmus for Tiege Ginla. This says, why is every media member in Calgary determined to trade Mantha? Maybe give him a chance before trading him. I doubt Conroy signed him to just trade him. Didn't say that he did, but I do think he remains a trade candidate, but not until the deadline. This says, Daryl from Airdrie, my bold prediction is the Flames clinch a playoff spot with 5 games remaining. This says from Ray, I totally agree. Vladar will be traded. I believe Conroy already has a few irons in the fire. What else we got here? From Dylan and Revy, point leader, Connor Zeri gets 73 along with 25 or more goals. Bold prediction, Zeri gets a long-term extension that fans hate at the time, but ages like Pat, fine wine. The first call-up, I'm torn between Cooley and Brstevich. It's Cooley, though. I think the goalies will struggle. There's just a little bit of the text line response on our bold predictions at 960. Hey, the NHL is back. We know that. We're here on day 2 of the NHL regular season and day 1 for the Calgary Flames. And you know you can catch hockey action all season long on Sportsnet Television and Sportsnet Plus. And Rogers Beyond the Seat brings Rogers customers closer to the hottest sports and entertainment experiences. And so to kick off this NHL season, Rogers is giving its customers and hockey fans across the country the chance to win a trip to any NHL game this season. That's right, any game in the league this season. If that isn't enough, they're also giving away hundreds of other NHL prizes all season long. So to enter for your chance to win, head to Rogers.com/NHL. Once again, that's for a trip to win any NHL game this season, a trip to any game this season, plus all those other prizes. It's Rogers Beyond the Seat. And one more time, it's Rogers.com/NHL. The contest closes on October 25th.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Patton West this hour on Flames Talk, and now the Daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport. Now, Derek Wills joins us, the voice of the Calgary Flames, to complete our Wednesday Daily Flames Roundtable. Willsy, the theme of this hour has been bold predictions for the coming season, of which the Flames will start later on Wednesday night. And so that is where we're going with you as well, as we continue just looking ahead to an 82-game regular season and a Flames team that is starting somewhat of a new era with this team in 24-25. So with that, gentlemen, the Pacific Division was the division that produced the Western Conference champion. The Edmonton Oilers went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last year with 7 other teams in the Pacific Division outside of Calgary. Where do the Flames finish this year inside the Pacific?
I'm not sure how bold my prediction is going to be. The way I see the Pacific Division, there are 2 teams that are clearly better, the Canucks and the Oilers. who finished 1-2 last year. And I think there are still two teams that are clearly worse, the Ducks and the Sharks, who finished 7-8 last season. So I see the Flames being this season where they were last season, somewhere in the murky middle, somewhere between 3 and 6. Now, the Kings finished third last year, but they just lost their best defenseman, maybe their best player, in Drew Doughty, who's month to month. And he was second, if I'm not mistaken, in average time on ice in the league last season. How do you replace those minutes? I'm not sure the Kings can. I have question marks about them. The Golden Knights, they lost a lot of talent during the offseason, but they always seem to find a way to make it work. So I think they're probably still ahead of the Flames for me. And I don't know what to make of the Kraken. Good in their first season, not so good in their second season. I don't love them. So for me, it's probably going to be, if I had to put them in order, the Oilers and the Canucks 1-2. I would go Golden Knights 3. And then it gets tough with the Kings, the Flames, and the Kraken. I'll be a homer. I'll go Flames 4, Kings 5, Kraken 6, and then probably Ducks 7, Sharks 8. So not at the top, not at the bottom, somewhere in the middle for me, guys.
Yeah, we talked about this for a while yesterday, and Wilsey, I have the Golden Knights still, and I understand your point about the departures, but I still have them in that top tier in the division with the Oilers and Canucks. Like, I, you know, if I'm, I guess, splitting them up, I have those three teams in sort of the obvious playoff spots. I agree with you that the Ducks and Sharks look like the teams that will be racing to the bottom. I in that middle group, I wouldn't be ready to put the Flames in fourth. I think, I think it's more likely that the Kings or the Kraken finish in that spot. But those are the teams I expect them to be sort of in that mix with. I don't have them certainly in the same fight, if you want to put it that way, with the Ducks and the Sharks. I certainly don't have them in the same echelon as the Oilers, Canucks, and Golden Knights. They're in, I guess, that group of three teams that I have trouble figuring out what a realistic expectation might be.
I think that the mushy middle, if you will, of the Pacific Division will be larger. I don't know if the tiers, especially after the top two or three, will be as defined as they have been, because I do think Anaheim and San Jose will be better. San Jose is welcoming in not one, but two extremely talented, albeit very young, potential franchise players. And again, I still think of that first year that Chicago had Kane and Taves, and now we're talking about Smith and Celebrini, and I don't know if those guys will be at the same level of what Kane and Taves have been. Those are future Hall of Famers. But Macklin Celebrini is a first overall pick, and Will Smith is being touted as a franchise center iceman too. And I just, with some of the other additions made in San Jose between the pipes, and you bring in Tyler Toffoli, I think the Sharks will be significantly better than they were last year. You know, they're going to have a 40-point turnaround where they're, you know, in that wild card hunt or on the fringes of it? Probably not, but I think that they'll be significantly better. They had 47 points last year. That is nearly historically bad.
Hard to do.
I think if the Sharks are closer to 70, 75 points this year, won't surprise me. I think the Ducks take a little bit of a step because their younger players are just going to take another step, and the Ducks aren't going to be and also ran with all that talent for very much longer. And I think that the Flames, who missed the playoffs by 17 points last year, along with the LA Kings and Seattle Kraken, I don't see a massive amount between them, but I still think the Flames are probably somewhere in the middle. The Doughty loss hurts the Kings, and Wilsey, even before losing Doughty, I was out on LA. I think the Kings are in a really bad spot and are falling back to the pack rapidly. And not only that, it's not like they were that far ahead of the pack to begin with. So I think the Kings are in a lot of trouble. I think Seattle is a team that is getting slept on, though. I know they gave up a 2-goal lead and lost 3-2 to open the season in North America on Tuesday, but Seattle got better in the offseason. They added some key players. They are a team that made the playoffs a couple of years ago. I think Seattle is perhaps being slept on right now. So I don't know. I kind of have the Flames in that 5-6 range too. I do think they'll be better than San Jose and Anaheim. I just don't think it'll be as big of a gap. And I think they're kind of right there with the Kings team. I just don't have a ton of belief in. And it's funny because, you know, the Flames are this group that we hope is heading in one direction. And I feel like they'll be with a Kings team that I feel is going in a completely opposite direction. So I think if the Flames can be in that kind of 80 to 90 point range, that it's a decent year, and we'll see where the chips may fall when it comes to being a bottom 10 team and losing their pick. That can't concern anybody inside that locker room, though. So mushy middle. I got them kind of in the 5-6 range, Wilsey.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 4-5-6 somewhere in there, and we'll see what happens with the Golden Knights. But again, they're a team that really, since their inception, has found a way, despite having this ragtag group of players that were throwaways for other teams. They go to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season, and they've been a Stanley Cup contender and won their first championship a couple of years ago. So it's hard to write them off for me. The Kings, they were a really good regular season team a year ago. And I'm hearing too many whispers that I think are going to get louder and louder about some turmoil going on behind the scenes there with their front office. So we'll see what happens there. I think replacing Drew Doughty is pretty much impossible for them. And again, with all the minutes that he eats up playing almost half the game, that is such a massive loss for that team. Yeah, the Kraken did make some nice additions during the offseason, so we'll see if that helps them get out of the murky middle in the Pacific Division. And yeah, I do think the Ducks and the Sharks, younger teams, probably will be at least a little bit better. I mean, the Sharks finished, 35 games below 500 in the win-loss column with 47 points last overall. They had a minus 150 goal differential last season.
I just can't see it being worse than that. So. Again.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to be better, and you do add two good young players and a pretty good old guy as well, and former Flame Tyler Toffoli. The Ducks, without John Gibson, I've got question marks about their goaltending, but you know, they've got some good young talent there. I could see the Sharks leapfrogging the Ducks in the Pacific Division standings. We'll see how that plays out, but you know, the Flames, for me, are a team that's got some question marks. Obviously, in goal, you lose a number one guy in Jacob Markstrom. Will one of Dan Vladar or Dustin Wolf become a clear-cut number one guy, or at least a 1A, I think that will go a long way in determining how good the Flames are and how competitive they are this season. Who plays up the middle? I still think that's a question mark, especially now that Yegor Sharangovich is out of the fold week to week with a lower body injury. You lose one of your three options. So hopefully Martin Pospisil works out. But the sense I get talking to managers and coaches and players, fellas, last season, there were so many distractions, and I kind of forgot about the black cloud that was hanging over this team really until the trade deadline, because there were those six fairly high-profile, unrestricted free agents. And before the season even started, that was the big question mark. Are they going to stay? Are they going to go? And I wonder if in the back of the players' minds, they thought, is it even worth giving it all we've got this season when – you know, these guys could all get traded between now and the deadline, and it could all be for naught. So, you know, talking to Michael Backlund this morning, you know, he talked about the fact that they don't have the distraction of all of these pending UFAs kind of hanging over them like they did last year. It does look like a more focused group. I think they're a team that will play on a chip with a chip on its shoulder. You know, they can talk about blocking out the outside noise, but if you don't think that the players have heard what everybody around the league is saying about them, if you don't think they know that they were 31st in the Sportsnet preseason power rankings, I think you're wrong. I think they know it. I think they've heard it. And I think they're out to prove people wrong. So we'll see where it goes. I think getting off to a good start is going to be really key for this group if they are going to remain competitive.
The thing I find makes it hard to handicap where this Flames team might finish is just the sheer number of things that they need to go right to surprise people. Like, it's a long list of what has to happen for this team to be more successful than maybe not what everyone's predicting. Like, 31st in the power rankings is, that's low. But you know, you mentioned, Wilsey, like they need strong goaltending. They need one of these guys or ideally both of them to give them really strong performances in net. They need a better team save percentage than the career stats for those guys would indicate. They need a solution up the middle of the ice, whether that's Zeri or Pospisil or making a trade or whatever. They need Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar, who are going to play an almost Doughty-esque amount of minutes, to have really strong seasons. They need a bounce back from Huberto. Like, you can go up and down, and there are so many things that they need to go right to surprise people, and I think that's what makes it hard to figure out where they're going to land.
Yep. Daily Flames Roundtable. He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. Okay, guys, let's have a bold prediction, but kind of in that same vein. Guys, who's the player that intrigues you the most using whatever criteria you want to use, whether it is where he's going to play or how many points he's going to put up or whatever you want to talk, what his social media is going to look like. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever criteria you want to use. Who's the most intriguing player on the Flames this year for you?
Oh, there are about 100 different ways I could go with this one. I'm tempted to go with Sam Honzek simply because he's been the story of training camp in the preseason. And, you know, he's a young guy, a 19-year-old who's getting an opportunity to not only start the season in the NHL, but, you know, he goes from being the 13th forward earlier in the week or later last week to being on the left side of the first line with Nazem Kadri and Andre Kuzmenko and probably playing on the Flames' second power play. So I was really tempted to go in that direction, but I'm going to go with the winger on the other side of that Nazem Kadri line in Andre Kuzmenko. And the reason I'm going to go with him, he's playing against his former team, the Canucks, tonight. And I think about his debut in North America. 39 goals and 74 points in his first 81 NHL games with the Canucks a couple of seasons ago. And then last season, I think admittedly, he probably wasn't in the best shape. You know, he ends up with 22 goals and 46 points in 71 games, but he was a lot better with the Flames than he was with the Canucks. And from all accounts, he had a really good offseason, came to training camp in much better shape than he was probably at any point in time with the Canucks or with the Flames last season. And he is a pending unrestricted free agent. So that's what kind of pushed me over the line with him in my decision to go with him instead of Sam Honzek. Does he finish the season with the team? You know, does he have a strong season, up his value, and convince the Flames that, you know, he is a part they want to keep moving forward? Does he have a strong season and up his value and convince the Flames that he's worth trading? Maybe they can get a first-round pick or a top prospect or something for him approaching the deadline. If he turns into a 30-goal guy again, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. So does he stay? Does he go? Does he have a good season? Does he have another so-so season? I think Andre Kuzmenko, because of his high skill level and because of all the questions surrounding him because of his first two seasons in North America and his status as a pending UFA, for me, just a lot of questions, and I can't wait to see how he answers them.
That was a very interesting answer, Wilsey. A very interesting
very
answer.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Did I steal it from you?
Nope.
No, just nope. Very interesting. Okay. Very interesting
yeah,
moment.
Very interesting, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
I'm going
to
go with...
We had to really push it down your throat, though.
Yeah, well, if your accents were better, then it would have been easier point. For me to pick up on. Your Russian accents need work.
Still working on that, for sure.
Yeah.
For me, guys, and I agree with Derek that you could go a lot of different ways here. The most intriguing for me is Connor Zeri, just because... you know, his standout rookie season, especially before his play kind of tapered off with a bit of an injury into, I'd say, March there. The way he burst on scene at the NHL level really changed my perspective of what I think he could be capable of. And I'm fascinated to see where that goes this year. You know, he finishes with 34 points, 14 goals and 34 points in 63 games as a rookie, certainly a solid introduction, but I wonder where he can take this offensively. I don't expect him to last on that shutdown line with Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman. And the only reason I don't expect him to be the long-term solution there is I think that he can be more valuable to this team in a line that's going to be doing a little bit more offensive generation. And he's the most fascinating to me because I want to find out where he winds up position-wise. Like, I know Pat's been pushing for him at center. I know there's a big question mark about whether Martin Pospisil can have the same sort of impact on the game up the middle of the ice. That's something we haven't seen yet. You can't really have a Martin Pospisil-esque impact on the game in the preseason anyways, but the jury really is out on him. So I'm fascinated by where Connor Zary ends up in the lineup, both position-wise and who his ideal line mates are going to be. I'm fascinated by where he can end up scoring-wise. Like, is 50-some or 60 points out of the question for Connor Zary in his first entirely full season in the NHL? I don't know that it is now. I think that's optimistic. I think 60 is a pretty high mark to be chasing for Connor Zary, but I don't see it being out of the question. I am really intrigued by where he takes it.
Guys, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I thought both those guys I wrote down, I wrote down Miramanov, all three of the goaltenders, but I couldn't stop coming back to Mantha. And I just, for so many different reasons. So Craig Conroy at his season-ending news conference last year said, we need to go get somebody to play with Jonathan Huberdeau. Then on July 1st, he signs Anthony Mantha to a one-year deal. A lot of people don't like the signing. You look at our text line, Willsy, all the time. People hate that signing because they feel like it's blocking the way for a Coronado or somebody else. And fair enough. But then they sign him on July 1st, and again, Craig Conroy sits down on the hot stove lounge and says, we think he's going to be a really good fit with Jonathan Huberdeau. And then you watch him, and you can't help, and I've always known this, but maybe haven't been as acutely aware of just how stupidly that puck explodes off his stick. And you're like, holy, that guy has got a ridiculous shot. And if he's able to, whether it is Pospisil or anybody else who is the long-term center iceman for Huberdeau, if Mantha on the right side can be that right foil, maybe all of a sudden you've unlocked something in Jonathan. And that's something the Flames have been trying to do for 2 years now. So there's that. Then there's the whole idea of, did they sign him just to be a pump and dump trade deadline guy? And if that's the case, what might he end up looking like for another team at the deadline? If Mantha's on pace for 25 goals, you might get a nice little return for him. If it's a frustratingly infuriating inconsistent year for him, and he's only at 9 goals near the trade deadline, I don't know what you're going to get for him. So just for so many different reasons, Anthony Mantha has been this guy that has been talked about as having a ridiculous amount of potential for years. And he admitted to us on July 1st that the biggest knock on him, the biggest thing he needs to fix, is his consistency. Is this opportunity another show-me deal? Even though he had 20-plus goals last year, he was healthy scratched by Vegas in the playoffs, and now he is with a new team, again, trying to show the Flames and the rest of the NHL that he can be relied upon. I just, for so many different reasons, Mantha fascinates me this year, because I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know what Anthony Mantha we're going to see most of this year, and I'm really curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I like that one, Pat, because he's a guy who can not only score goals, and you're right, he's got a great shot, a great release. He's also a guy who can be really tough to play against. One of those guys, he's not only skilled, but he's got great size and can almost play that Martin Pospisil style of hockey. When he's really engaged, I think he's a rare player in this league because of his size and because of his skill set, and because he can really play a style of hockey that gets under the skin of his opponents. So we'll see if the Flames get that version of Anthony Mantha. And if they do, I do think he could be a great fit on the line with Jonathan Huberdeau. And Huberdeau is another guy who I thought about going with. I mean, you consider the fact that in his final season with the Panthers, he finishes tied for second in the Art Ross Trophy race with 115 points. And in his first two seasons with the Flames, he doesn't even have 115 points combined. Can, whether it be playing with Martin Pospisil or playing with Anthony Mantha, can Jonathan Huberdeau get back to being not 115-point player? Can he get back to being a point-per-game player? because if he gets to that level, that is going to be huge for the Flames, because I think this is a team that could struggle to score goals this season. They're going to need young players to play a more prominent role, and they're going to need some of their older players to get back to where they were for the majority of their career. And for me, Jonathan Huberdeau is at the top of that list. So I think that kind of ties in with Anthony Mantha and the impact that he could potentially have on this team this year. Listen, if he's a good fit for Huberdeau, then I think that's going to be a huge win for the Flames, even if they do move Mantha between now and the deadline.
All right, gents, some bold predictions and the final round table before the start of the regular season. We'll be looking back on night one when we do this again on Thursday. Willsy, thank you, pal.
Okay, guys, enjoy the first game.
He is Derek Wills. He is Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that's your Daily Flames Roundtable. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Shan Virgie and Cam Hughes have been our producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable is brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.